previewing week 9 of the fantasy basketball season here on the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers here with Joe Polito. Joe, how was your weekend?
It was good, except I got eliminated from the fantasy football playoffs.
So now I'm still alive in two.
I'm all in on basketball, and I'm like, cool, I'll just devote all my attention to basketball, open up my points league, and oh, look, my first round pick is injured. How about that?
Yeah. You don't have it that bad. Because I have Blake Griffin in the 30-team league.
Oh, yes.
And my team already stinks in that one. And now I had actually sent our coworker Scott White a trade of, I think I was giving up Blake Griffin, and I was getting Dirk Nowitzki.
I was going to say, he's got a lot of old big men, I remember his draft.
And I sent that trade right before the Blake Griffin injury news comes down. For anyone who doesn't know, Blake Griffin out 3 to 6 weeks with a quote-unquote minor procedure on his knee.
Just needs a little tiny baby surgery.
Yeah, I don't buy that there's any such thing as a minor knee surgery. I know there are varying gradations, but this is a concern. This is definitely a concern for anyone who drafted Blake Griffin, and this is 3 years in a row now where Blake Griffin has missed a significant amount of time. We don't know how significant this time will be. It'll be at least 3 weeks, according to the Clippers, up to 6 weeks. So he's definitely out until January, potentially out until February. And this is now, he missed 15 games in 2014-15. He missed 47 in 2015-16. And now likely to miss at least 10, potentially more. This season, so
bummer.
That's a bummer for Blake Griffin. And then the real problem is there anyone who really stands to benefit from this?
The guys who are already good?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that when Blake Griffin tends to go down, what tends to happen is Chris Paul plays better, DeAndre Jordan plays a lot
dunks.
Better. And other than that...
So I have Blake Griffin in that points league. In a points league, I picked up Spates, because Spates will do his thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to need him to hit shots. He's going to get plenty of wide open two-pointers. So, I mean, you know, I'm looking for 20 fantasy points per game from him as just like a have to pick him up because I had Blake. If I didn't have Blake, probably wouldn't have picked him up. Categories league, not picking him up. But, you know, he does things. He's going to get stats. They're just not going to be like the stats need from power forward.
I wonder if Spates has even played at all with DeAndre Jordan this season. I don't think I've seen that. I feel like Spates has been... they've played 5 minutes together.
He's the Jamal Crawford of the front court for them. He just comes in and
he's been playing back at five. And so I would guess they've been starting Austin Rivers at the three over the last couple of games. I wonder if they just move Luke Richard and Bamute over to the four, play Rivers at the three, go small ball, because that tends to be what they do. You know, they've gone with Paul Pierce at the four before. They tend to go...
Well, it opens things up a lot for Chris Paul. And the thing is, though, like, it's if not for their lack of a bench, Spates would probably slot in nicely for Chris Paul as, like, a pick-and-pop kind of option, because he can sort of space the floor and everything.
Yeah.
But I think just his size they're going to need off the bench anyways. So, I mean...
The options, I would say, are Wesley Johnson, Jamal Crawford, or... maybe Brandon Bass, but I would imagine they'll just go with a shooter.
But even still, you know,
yeah.
You know what you're, 10 points per game, 5 rebounds from Brandon Bass.
Yep,
probably
exactly.
Not any blocks. Okay, free throw shooting.
Yeah. So not much to go on here in...
I've been waiting for Wesley Johnson to become fantasy relevant. I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Do you have him in the 30-team league?
No, I just think he's a fun... kind of fantasy player where he can like hit a three and get a block. There's not many guys like that.
So Blake Griffin's one of those news items that is big for fantasy and also isn't. There's not really anyone who can stand
up. Congrats
up.
If you have Chris Paul or DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Sorry if you have Blake Griffin. In a 30 deep league, Chris, you might pick up Anthony Tolliver, who is the top power forward available. He's been getting minutes, which is huge in this league. 30 minutes, 23 minutes, last two games, 9 and 7 points. You might have to pull the trigger, man. Get half the fab budget.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Things are not looking good for me there. I mean, that's the kind of league where one injury can sink your season. And I think I already have Chandler Parsons in that league, so
Cool.
That explains why
you
want to
collude.
Well.
Nobody listens to this.
That's true.
Give me your best player.
Another player who is coming back from injury, and that's Mike Conley. This is nuts. Like, he is back after, I think, 16 days with a fracture in his back. Played 29 minutes in his first two games back with the Grizzlies, who released Tony Douglas last week. So much for that. Andrew Harrison back on the bench. Conley had 22 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists in his first two games. Not surprising that it's taking a little time to get back, but, you know, this is very good news. Mike Conley being back, hopefully it's not something that there's a chance he re-injures it, but it's good to see him back. What do you think this means for the Grizzlies?
I think they kind of looking around the rest of the West and like, okay, we can make the playoffs, and like, our team's not good, but we're scrappy. Marcus Saul's playing out of his mind.
Yeah. You know, they went 8-1, I think, without
Conley. Like, we might as well, you know, the Parsons injury obviously was a bummer to them, but I think they were surprised by the level of play that they're getting. I think it's a, you know, hat tip to Coach Fizdale for getting them to play defense and everything. But, yeah, I think they're just kind of trying to not make this a lost season, and getting Conley back ASAP is a big part of that.
And Coach David Fizdale did also say on Monday that Chandler Parsons will be back on the court in a couple of days, in a matter of days, excuse me. That's very good news for every single one of my fantasy teams, I believe, because I have way too much Chandler Parsons this season. It'll be nice to see him back, and I would guess what we'll see is something like what happened last year when he returned from his knee surgery with Dallas, which was a very slow return. It took him a while.
Yeah, it'll be a month into 2017 before we see something close to what we want from Chandler Parsons.
If it goes like last season, he played at an exceptionally high level in the second half before having another knee injury. So there's a chance. I think Chandler Parsons, I haven't been able to bring myself to drop him in any leagues, and I think that's going to end up being the right choice, even if it'll be hard to trust him for the next couple of weeks, if not the next month or so.
But that's also nice, you know, like I said, if the Grizzlies are saying, like, okay, we're all in on this season, Parsons will come back and they'll want to use him. They'll want to show the fans what they have with their core. So they're not going to baby him. That'll be nice.
Gary Harris is also back from his foot injury, played about 30 minutes in his first two games, 34 points, 7 boards, 8 assists in his first two games, including 6 in his first game back. He's been really good. I think he's averaging like 17 points, 5 boards, 2 or 3 assists per 36 minutes. Actually, I think he's averaging 4 assists per 36. He's only played 7 games this season because of injuries, but he's a real breakout candidate. I like the way he's playing right now. He's very important for the Nuggets. He's a long-term piece for them, and I think we're going to see him play a significant role moving forward. I like Gary Harris, someone that you need to add. I believe he's only 56% owned in CBS Sports.
So how do you rank him, Will Barton, and Jamal Murray?
That order for now. Maybe in the long term, maybe by March it'll be different. Maybe Murray pushes Will Barton aside. Maybe Barton's a trade candidate. But for now, I think it's Harris, Barton, Murray. Murray is droppable again.
Yeah, they're such a, you know, every week we talk about it. It's just this hot hand mentality. Like, Jokic is back doing great things. And Nurkic is getting, what, 10 minutes a game or something like
that. I mean, Kenneth Faried's playing really well right now, too.
With Jokic.
So it's definitely a frustrating situation in Denver. They're a team that needs to make multiple trades still. Team that definitely needs to make a trade, and I wrote about this front court situation in my Week 9 planner, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, another thing we talk about every week.
Yeah, quote from Nerlens Noel, "I think I'm too good to be playing 8 minutes. That's crazy, that's crazy, that's crazy. We need to figure this blank out," the blank.
Malarkey.
You can fill in the blank. It's a word that I wouldn't say on a podcast.
It starts with an S. It's squat.
And Brett Brown responded first by, he was asked if he feels bad for Nerlens Noel. He responded by saying, "I feel bad for Rashawn Holmes."
Oh. Gut punch.
And then benched Nerlens Noel. Nerlens Noel did not come off the bench in the most recent game. He told reporters, "He is not in Philadelphia's rotation right now as long as the big men can stay out of foul trouble." Joel Embiid had 33 points in their most recent game, so not looking great for Nerlens
Noel. No, I really hope this resolves quickly, because it's like with every passing week, it seems, you know, his trade value isn't going up at this point. Like, what is he doing behind the scenes to make his coach
and
dislike him so?
Yahoo Sports reported last week that opposing front offices are not exactly thrilled by what they've found in their background research on Nerlens Noel, so that's not a good sign. And Brian Colangelo came out today and said, I'm not going to make a trade that sets this franchise back. So, you put all of that together, and it does not sound like Nerlens Noel has a ton of trade value. It does not sound like Brian Colangelo is looking to just trade Nerlens Noel for the sake of having traded him. I still think you should stash him. This is a guy who was a third or fourth round value in Roto Leagues a couple of, probably before last season. And it's just a tough situation for him. But there aren't a lot of big men with his kind of upside on waivers. I would guess there are none.
Yeah, no. And the kinds of situations that demand action like this one. So there's something's got to give. Hopefully soon.
Would hope so. Hopefully they don't run it out just to spite, just to kind of cut off their nose to spite their face, whatever.
Yeah, because then it'll get ugly, because then he's, every week he's going to have a quote.
Yeah. So it's a bad situation. The process, in some areas, looking great.
Not being trusted.
But Nerlens Noel not trusting the process. Speaking of the 76ers, Jared Bayless done for the year after undergoing wrist surgery, so that will keep Sergio Rodriguez and TJ McConnell in fantasy relevant discussions. I prefer Sergio Rodriguez to be sure, but still more of a low end option.
Yeah, they're both streaming, they play four times in a week, they're available, pick them up.
Yep. George Hill's timetable is measured on, quote, a week to week basis, not a day-to-day basis. That's according to Coach Quinn Snyder. He said days to days or week to week. So still not close to returning from that toe injury.
At least the Jazz are getting a little more specific with their...
They're being specific
in how vague they're going
to
be.
Yeah, week to week is at least, if you're setting the lineup
to
14
for
week
days
nine,
or more.
You are not starting George Hill. So I guess that's nice to know. Clint Capella has a knee injury, doubtful for Tuesday, could have an MRI on that, so that's something to keep in mind. Probably going to see an increased role for Nene and Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell a lot more interesting than Nene, but I don't think either one of them is a particularly interesting fantasy option.
Yeah, not in a 12-team league. Harrell has been doing some cool stuff, but just the volume, the minutes aren't really there. I mean, he plays small ball center for them, and he's got really good hands, which is kind of appealing, but there's just, that offense doesn't need a whole lot, so they'll probably just make it a platoon.
It will be interesting to see, maybe in your daily fantasy leagues or in a daily transactions league, maybe you can look at him. If he gets 25 minutes, he's someone who could, conceivably put up like 14-6, something like that with good percentages, so worth looking at. The Rockets also rescinded Donatas Motiejunas' contract.
The saga continues.
So this is keep. Has there ever been more time spent on a more average player? Like, I feel like basketball nerds really like Donatas Motiejunas because he's like a skilled big man who can shoot the three and post up. But he's not actually that good. And it's been a lot of talk about a guy who, frankly, is not that interesting. And so, I don't know where he goes from here, but the Rockets apparently did not like what they saw in his physical after agreeing to a 4-year deal, and they rescinded that.
So he is Donuts is not just his nickname; it's also his
apparently so
his prerogative.
Apparently so, and he is an unrestricted free agent now. He can sign with any team he wants, except for the Rockets and Nets. He cannot sign with the Nets for another year after signing his offer sheet.
Kind of sucks for the Nets.
Kind of sucks for the Nets. Kind of sucks for Donatas Motiejunas. Doesn't sound like the market's heating up for him, so we'll see where this goes from here. But rapidly losing interest
right.
in this. Hopefully this is the last time we talk about him for a while.
Maybe there's some dramatic twist that gets us interested again, but right now it's a lot of semantics.
With the way his back sounds like it is, I don't know if dramatic twists are a good thing for him.
By the way, Montrezl Harrell per 36, 17 points, 9 rebounds, block and a half. So
Mike D'Antoni's magic.
Yeah.
Like what he does with him and Sam Dekker, both of them like barely played last year.
And then now, because they're just young, they can kind of space. Like they're just, he just sets them free and they fly.
It's remarkable. And Victor Oladipo has missed 3 games with his wrist injury. He's out Monday, so that's a concern heading into week 9 for sure. Probably going to have to keep Victor Oladipo on your bench. He took part in a little bit of practice. I believe the quote from Thunder head coach, drawing a blank. Thunder head coach.
Billy Donovan?
Billy Donovan, there it is. Jeez.
I want to see if you would start like, Florida coach, the guy.
I know, I was in my head. You couldn't throw me the life raft.
Sorry.
He said he's at practice. He's not in practice right now, so that tells you where Victor Oladipo is.
He's chilling.
And you see, he had a wrist brace on. Not necessarily saying he's going to miss a month, but it is worth noting that Justice Winslow did just recently come back from a month-long absence with a wrist injury that initially sounded like it was just a day-to-day thing. So that's definitely a concern.
It's weird. Jared Bayless's thing was wrist, too, and they were like, is he going to have surgery? Is he not?
Yeah.
With Winslow, they're trying to avoid him having surgery at the end of the season. Yep. These wrists, man.
Turns out wrists are important for basketball. So Victor Oladipo, I would suggest sitting in week 9. And then we'll see moving forward. Speaking of week 9, let's look at the waiver wire heading into week 9 for some guys that you should pick up, some guys that you should cut. And I think Patrick Beverley's still underowned at 70%.
Yeah. Yeah. Until he has like a couple clunkers in a row.
And I'm really not sure it's gonna happen. You know, he's up to 5 assists per game, scoring only about 8 to 9 points per game, but 5 assists are career high.
Again, just recently, go 2 years ago, look at the D'Antoni Lakers team and just realize how many of those guys were fantasy relevant. And, you know, in it comes and goes.
Yeah.
But this is a better team, so I think you're right. It is going to be more consistent.
In only 17 games, he ranks as the number 58 player in fantasy. He's been really good, 8.2 points, 5.9 boards, actually, over 7 boards per game in the month of December. 4.8 assists per game, 1.4 steals, gets you those three-pointers, doesn't hurt you in the percentages all that much, although free throw shooting hasn't been good this year, so that's not a good sign, but I think that'll turn around. And yeah, Patrick Beverley, someone who definitely needs to be owned more, I think even in head-to-head points leagues.
Yeah, I mean, assists are going to be more plentiful in that offense, and you just look at guys like Elfrid Payton, kind of the defensive not great shooting percentages kind of guy, and he's one of those who can hit a corner three and hopefully bounces back in the free throw department. So
exactly.
Lots of upside. Get him.
I would also say Gary Harris, 56% owned, needs to be owned more. He's going to be potentially hard to trust because of that backcourt glut in Denver, and it's really not necessarily just a backcourt glut. It's a across-the-board positional glut. They seem to have two or three guys at every position.
The glut gets or something.
The glut the nugluts.
Okay. We'll go with that. Gary Harris seems like he's in between, though. They got the super young guys and they got the old guys.
Yeah.
He's, like, nice in the middle.
He's only 22, though.
I know, but
in his third season.
He's just played a lot of games, and he came into the league with, like, sort of a veterans type of game, I feel like. So.
Yeah, definitely like a 3-and-D kind of guy.
Yeah.
But showing more as a playmaker this season, which is nice to see. And nice reminder that the Nuggets got him and Yusuf Nurkic for I am blanking.
Chris, come on. Billy Donovan?
Doug McDermott.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just having one of those days. Draft. Just my mind is.
Yeah, you start out like, I know what I'm
going
to say.
I know what I'm not, I know where this road is going.
Oh, boy.
And then you just drive off a cliff like Thelma and Louise. That's what my brain's
timely
like.
Timely reference.
James Johnson.
Oh,
I know
you
this
got
one
to
would,
see him in
yeah,
person.
Oh, I saw that Eurostep. Did you see that Eurostep?
Oh, he does like one a game.
Oh, that Eurostep was fun.
It's a coin flip, though, because on the other side of the coin, he charges and destroys the guy, and it's a turnover.
But yeah, James Johnson playing really well for the Heat. You know, actually a top 125 player, which doesn't sound like that much, but you're talking about a reserve who's giving you 11th round value, someone who's widely available on waivers in Roto.
I think
he's someone who needs to be owned.
Especially, just look at the rest of the, I mean, Derek Williams and Luke Babbitt are his competition. Two guys that, I mean, Luke Babbitt, I'm sorry, I don't even know how he's in the NBA.
He could shoot.
That's what I've heard, but I've seen very little evidence. And then the Heat,
he kind of looks like Kyle Korver.
Okay. He's got a shooter's look, and he wears a shooter's sleeve. I will give you these things. But the Heat might trade and get even worse.
Yeah.
Which is just, I feel like James Johnson has very little downside at this point. Like, they like his defense. He handles the ball for them. I mean, Winslow coming back maybe presses into it a little bit, but he's bigger than Winslow, so he's going to play the four, even the five in some small ball line.
He's averaging 11.8 points, 4.3 rebounds, 3.3 assists over
and
the
I think,
last
And I think
years.
The assists can come up, too. He hadn't even been getting assists up to this point where I've been talking about him, and he's shown in the past ability to get five assists on a given night, so I think they'll trust him a little more with the ball.
You know who ranks as a top 100, actually a top 90 player right now is John Luer.
Interesting.
Kind of surprising, averaging 10.8 points, 6.4 rebounds. Not really giving you a lot else, but the one thing he does really well is he's shooting 50.4% from the field. And only averaging, I believe, 0.9 turnovers per game, which is very helpful. And it's weird because not getting turnovers while doing stuff is super valuable, even if you're not doing all that much. And so,
yeah, it's just the fact the guys that who do a lot always kill you in turnovers. So having these guys to counteract that is
exactly
it's pretty nice.
And so John Luer, someone owned in 48% of leagues, dealing with a back injury, which is a concern right now. He's questionable for Monday, so keep that in mind. But a useful player in Roto. And a couple of Lakers, Brandon Ingram, almost had a triple-double in a start against the Cavaliers on Friday. He's really struggling with the shot. I think he's below 25% from three in the month of December, around 30% in from the field. But, you know, he's showing secondary skills. He's showing a little more playmaking. They're actually starting him at that point guard when D'Angelo Russell's been out. And for me, it's just I look at someone with his pedigree, with his skill set, with the role he has, getting 30 minutes per game. It just needs to click, and if the shot starts falling, he can be a real impact guy.
Yeah, the shot is hideous to look at, I will say that. But, yeah, gangly guy, maybe they're kind of trying to Giannis him a little bit.
Yes.
You know, not to say that he's a point guard, but he's so skilled that you put him in space with some other athletes. And
it's kind of like what the Timberwolves did with Zach LaVine. Not a point guard, but playing him there allows him to develop skills that he otherwise might not. Nick Young, 51% owned, averaging 16.8 points, 2.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and 3.2 three-pointers over his last five games.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, definitely a must-own in Roto.
For the threes. Go get them.
The Lakers are tough because they have so many guys, and you know, the rotation can change from minute to minute, but right now, he's playing really well.
Temple also doing some stuff, only 9% owned.
Yes, only 9% owned. He's been in the starting lineup with Ben McLemore dealing with an injury. Aaron Aflalo has been kind of in and out of the rotation as well. And Garrett Temple, 14 points, 4.3 rebounds, 5 assists per game over the last three as a starter. And scored 16 in his last game before coming into the starting lineup. So definitely an opportunity there. Always an opportunity when you're getting playing time on a bad team. A couple of big men that you can drop pretty safely at this point. It's going to be tough to pull the trigger on Yusuf Nurkic, but I think it's the way to go.
I think the Nuggets just in general, you know, until they make a trade, everyone's sort of droppable and addable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, depending on what your roster looks like, maybe you already have a couple of Nuggets that you want to try and bank on. Like I have, you know, Barton and Murray on one team.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to drop one. Like, they're just a team that you can constantly pick and choose from, and right now Nurkic is on the outs, I guess.
And Jokic, I think we can safely say, is a better player. I think Nurkic is still a very interesting prospect. If you want to hang on to him for the upside, that's fine, but probably needs a trade because it's become very apparent you can't play those two guys together this year. And he's only played 13 minutes over the last two games. So.
And I think the more Jokic plays, it'll be apparent that his brand of basketball is much more enjoyable. The fans will like what he brings more so than the sort of...
I would imagine his teammates do as well.
Yeah.
He gets people involved a lot better.
Nurkic is like a young Zeebo down there, just kind of trying to Hulk everyone.
And I think it's very, very safe to drop Joakim Noah at this point. He is still like 50% owned, 60% owned, and it's just... Most recent game, he played 11 minutes, had 2 points, 4 boards, no assists over the last five. He's averaging 4.8 points, 6.8 rebounds, 1.8 assists. What are you waiting on?
The The assists were the only thing possibly saving his value, and he's just not even on the court long enough to get them, especially on that team. You know, grab John Henson if you want low minute totals and defensive stats, because that's not what Noah's bringing anymore.
All right, and we'll look ahead at the Week 9 schedule real quick, but first, let's talk about some other injuries, news, and notes heading into Week 9. Tyreek Evans will sit out Tuesday's game, first of a back-to-back set, so keep that in mind. He's going to sit out back-to-backs moving forward. We'll play limited minutes, just waiting for Tyreek Evans to be unleashed, but still definitely worth owning. Kevin Love ruled out Tuesday with a knee injury. He's questionable for Wednesday. I think you're probably still starting him because he could get two or three games in, and that might be enough for Kevin Love the way he's playing right now. I do wonder, I worry actually, about this knee injury because he's playing so well. He's living up to the expectations that they put on him over the last couple of years after some disappointing numbers. He's above 20 points per game. I think he's averaging a double-double as well, shooting lights out, and it's just, it would be a shame if Kevin Love's kind of breakout slash bounce back season was derailed by a knee injury.
Oh, trade question involving Kevin Love. So getting Kevin Love and Bradley Beal.
Okay.
Giving up Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins, Dynasty League. So the Dynasty, I was like, let's do it. Let's get Love and Beal. But then the Dynasty Jimmy Butler side makes it a little trickier.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I'd rather have... It depends. Do I have a chance to win the title this year? If I do, give me Kevin Love and Brad
Beal.
Yeah,
I think just Beal's been so hot, the threes, you know.
But it...
Oh, offensive rebounds also count in this league, I remember.
But Bradley Beal is still very risky. Mm-hmm. And so you're taking on a big risk with him anytime you trade for him.
And you're giving up a lot of upside in Wiggins, and obviously Butler's killing it. So it's a tough one. It's pretty even.
Yep. Monte Ellis could miss another week with his groin injury. That's yet another reason to drop him. A strong sense, according to Sam Amick of USA Today, that a penalty is coming for DeMarcus Cousins following his tirade towards a Sacramento Bee reporter. So keep that in mind moving forward. You may lose DeMarcus Cousins for a game, and I think he's what's the number of technicals you need for a suspension?
No idea.
It's like 15 or 18 or something.
Sounds
right. He's already got 9.
Yeah.
So always something to keep an eye on with DeMarcus Cousins, the suspensions. Dorian Finney-Smith had a career-high 17 on Sunday for the Mavericks. He's playing pretty well for them. Low-end option to add. Derrick Rose was back at practice on Monday, so that's a good sign with his back injury, although it is worth noting. He did try to play, I believe, in Thursday or Friday night's game. Ended up suffering a reoccurrence of that injury. So, as always with Derrick Rose, it's just hard to know when he's going to be healthy enough to play or for how long. J.J. Barea was able to practice this weekend. He is questionable with a calf injury. That is worth keeping an eye on because he was returning roughly top 20 value or top 50 value before going down with his injury. So keep an eye on that. J.J. Barea, someone worth adding. And T.J. Warren returned from his head injury on Saturday. Played about 14 minutes, so we'll see his role increase moving forward. He's another guy who was having a really solid start to the season. Ranked as number 53 in Roto before his injury, averaging 16.6 points, 1.8 steal, shooting 46% from the field. So keep an eye on T.J. Warren if he's available in your league. And let's look at the Week 9 schedule really quickly before we go away. Three teams play two times, and you've got some decisions to make this week because you've got Charlotte, Philadelphia, and Toronto. I would say Philadelphia, you can sit everyone.
Yeah.
I don't think there's...
Yeah. Embiid would be tempting just because we know what he can do in one game, but there's probably better options.
Yeah, maybe Embiid as a low-end starting center this week. That's the only one, really, because you look at... He's really the only must-start guy on this team in fantasy.
Absolutely.
Robert Covington's been playing better, but still more of a borderline guy, so I think you're probably sitting him. I would look at Charlotte and say you're sitting everyone but Kemba Walker with two games on the schedule. And the Raptors have two guys you can start.
Right.
Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I think the Hornets, maybe you can start Nicholas Batum. But other than that, I think that's it for these teams.
But even, I would say DeRozan, a little more sittable if you can find a guy who kind of scores, maybe does some other stuff.
Gets some three-pointers,
yeah, like
too.
Lowry does enough of other things, three-pointers and assists, to to kind of make him a must-start still.
All right, and the best schedules of the week. Because nobody plays on Saturday and there are only five games on Sunday, most of the league only plays three times this week. I believe there's eight, nine teams that play four times this week. The best schedules on the schedule are the Cavaliers. So I would say still play Kevin Love. You've got two games against Milwaukee, back-to-back set. Risk of LeBron and Kyrie sitting, as we saw last week. But
they're going to show up for that Golden State game.
Yeah. And then they've got Brooklyn and Golden State. And then you've got the Timberwolves playing four times. Karl-Anthony Towns, Gorgui Dieng, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, and Ricky Rubio are all must-starts this week. Phoenix, Atlanta, Sacramento, Oklahoma City, no back-to-backs for them. So those guys should all get healthy minutes and put up nice numbers this week. That's it for week nine.
Woo.
Well, that's it for this episode.
No, we just won it. Game
talking
over.
Talking about week nine.
We win.
Hopefully, man. I need to get some turnarounds in some of my leagues.
Yeah, Chris posted a couple, hey guys, everyone's on the trading block in a couple of league message boards.
Yep, that is definitely what happened, because I've got some teams that are struggling. I did make one start. I acquired Mo Harkless for Terrence Jones, the Anthony Davis owner. Very frustrated by Anthony Davis leaving Friday's game, so I was able to grab Mo Harkless. I think that's going to work out nicely for me, although Terrence Jones does have a ton of upside if Anthony Davis goes down. So, yeah, we'll see.
That's going to turn your season around. You got Harkless.
I got it. I got Harkless now. You know, I think in that league I've got Chandler Parsons, Nerlens Noel, and someone else who's injured right now, and it's just been a mess for me. So, too much Chandler Parsons in my life. I've never had too much Chandler Parsons.
He's so handsome.
See you next time. Bye.